All right. Thank you, ma'am. If I could have everyone's attention this evening, especially all the kids in the room. We've got a lot of kids in the room. We're going to turn to Proverbs 23 tonight. This won't be long. This won't be long, but I think it's going to be good. And kids, look this way, would you please, kids? This message is for you tonight. Every year before we have VBS, I'm always excited to speak about children and ministering to children, children's ministries, and get us all geared up for Vacation Bible School, which is always very exciting around here. We always have a huge attendance and one of the best Bible schools in the area. That's what all the people who come attend it say, and I tend to believe that. And so, kids, the good news is this is your night once again talking about things relating to children. Well, he may be on to something. Because while the good news is that it's about children, the bad news is it's about spanking. All right. We may need that fan on tonight just to calm us all a little and get us all to chill out a little. We want everyone to listen closely, though, and the kids can actually learn some things tonight. And I highly recommend that you listen. If you've got a kid near you making some sound, feel free to follow the directives of this message during this message. First, a story. The little boy was sent to bed by his father. 5 minutes later, what did Dad hear from the living room? Dad! What, son? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water? No, you had your chance. Lights out. 5 minutes later, Dad! Yes, son? I need a drink of water. I'm thirsty. I told you no, and if you ask again, I'm going to have to spank you. 5 minutes later, Dad! Yes? When you come in to spank me, could you bring a glass of water, please? I tell you, many of today's kids don't fear their parents. And when I use the word fear, I'm talking about the Bible meaning of fear, a healthy respect. Just like people fearing God, you know, a God-fearing people, they're not shivering, afraid of Him. But it's a healthy reverence and respect, and we're missing that in a lot of our homes. Yeah. I think our generation today is lazy and takes what we consider to be the easy way out, and I'm going to prove to you it's not the easy way out. Why don't we have the teens? What's that? Why don't we have the teens down here? We're recording. Also, these days we're so worried about abuse that we've gone headlong in the opposite direction too. We've allowed our society to do that to us. Question tonight, do parents have the right to spank their children?
Yes.
Sounds unanimous. So why is it so controversial an issue today in our country? Why is it that many states have now made laws against this practice? Why is it that our state of Illinois has a law that's so vague that it really doesn't protect you as a parent?
No.
It really protects the child.
That's right.
Why is this? Voting for laws like these are some well-meaning politicians who are trying to prevent child abuse. Also voting for this kind of things are some politicians who are just philosophically opposed to any kind of physical discipline. And a third group voting for this is virtually all children vote for this law. They're not old enough to vote, though. But physical discipline, according to the scriptures, is not a violation for us to avoid. It's a principle to be practiced. And let me just say, I appreciate your help. A lot of times my wife and I get busy around here, and just within the last few hours, somebody told me about something they had to do with one of my kids on a recent day. Last Sunday, somebody had to tell me, and they handled it so well and properly and better than we were handling it. And we can help one another if we all give one another permission to discipline at some level. But obviously, when it comes down to spankings, that's for parents and once in a while the dubious parent, grandparent privilege to do that. Uncles can do that too. You want to chime in there? All right. Who was telling me recently that they did it as an example to the class? Oh, yeah. Or I heard from my wife, I think. Can I tell that story? Do you know what story it is? Oh, I guess I can then. What were you saying, Miss Kimberly? Or somebody was telling me that Miss Sherry said, you know, some of the kids in class don't know that, and I don't remember which grandchild it was.
Brody.
Is her grandchild. And would see her spank them, and they would really sit up straight, you know, like my teacher. So maybe every class ought to have one whipping boy. Just for an example. If I shouldn't share that story, just let me know. Well, parents are God's representatives to their children. Therefore, parents must reflect God's character and His love to their children. Parents must reflect God's style of training in God's way. In other words, parents must provide an atmosphere of obeying God, an atmosphere of love and forgiveness and godly training. That's the kind of environment we need. Spanking is not outlawed by the Bible. It's directed in training up a child right. Now, there are other ways to discipline too.
Yes.
We use many different methods, but not to the exclusion of the Bible's main method. But there are other methods. According to a news report, a certain private school recently was faced with a unique problem. A number of the 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick for the first time, and they would go to the bathroom and put their lipstick on. No problem there, really. But the problem is that then they would go over to the mirror and press their lips against the mirror, leaving, you know, a bunch of lip prints there. And every night the maintenance man would come in, he would have to remove them. And the next day the girls would go in and they would put those lip prints back on there. Finally, the principal decided something must be done about this. And she had an alternative discipline method. She called all the girls to the bathroom, met them there in the bathroom, brought the maintenance man into the bathroom also. She explained that all these lip prints are a major problem, hard for the maintenance man to clean up. So to demonstrate how difficult it was to clean the mirrors, she asked him to show the girls how he did it. He took out a long-handled squeegee, dipped it in the toilet, and rubbed them off the mirror. And they say there have been no more lip prints at all. Now, this just goes to show us there are teachers and there are educators. Be an educator. So there are other methods. However, God is wisdom. God is so wise, and we would be wiser than Dr. Spock if only we would recognize that pain is the most primary motivator that exists. Now, how many of you know that to be true? Pain is the most primary motivator. There's other things that can motivate us. There's other ways we can convince different behavior out of people, but there's no more primary or basic motivator than simple pain. Some of the deepest and best lessons are learned through pain. And none of us wish for pain, and really none of us want our children to go through pain. That's part of our problem, because we don't want them to go through what could be one of their best learning experiences. or the best. Needless to say, there can obviously be an abuse of this form of discipline. No parent should ever strike a child in anger. If spanking is used to vent parental frustration, that's going to take you down some bad paths. If it's conducted in anger or practiced to obtain some peace and quiet, then it's wrong and perhaps you're not up to the task. Nowadays, the generally accepted view, unfortunately, in our world is that all forms of parental spanking are primitive and brutal methods used by uneducated, unenlightened people. In some countries, it's outlawed and banned. Some of our United States now, parental spanking is condemned as a criminal activity or labeled as child abuse. But when put in the position, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men, and we have the right under the First Amendment to preach the truth of what the Bible says tonight. Amen. Now, isn't it also true that some of the world's quote-unquote experts have managed to convince this generation of the following? Having more things makes you happier. That having more education will make you wiser. That having more training will make you more useful. That having good looks will make you more confident and secure. Most of the experts today say these things and have us believing these things. But isn't it also true that this generation is not happier, wiser, more useful, more confident, or any more secure? It is true. Shouldn't we seek a better way since the current method is broken? Yes, God's way. So what is God's word considering parental spanking? If you look at Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child. You say, well, correction could mean anything. Well, continue on in the verse. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, the word beat is often misunderstood today. We'll come back to what that means. Next verse. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Number one tonight, spanking is necessary for properly training a child.
That's why I'm saved from the ministry, because my mother beat the devil out of me.
Beat the devil out. You opened the door for that one. Since somebody needed to.
Oh, okay. Probably okay.
Proverbs is a great book, and if you want to turn, I'm going to share a few other verses along the way tonight than our text in Proverbs 23. Back in chapter 22, verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The first half of that verse, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. What is that evidence of? It's evidence of that sin nature, right? You never, ever have to teach a person how to do wrong. They will come to that naturally because it's part of their nature. But will people just naturally find and learn and do good as opposed to wrong? No, it must be taught because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof. So there's spanking, that's the rod. Reproof, that is other means of correction. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So maybe we ought to have a balanced approach. Not that spanking is the only method. What does it say next? But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I can't tell you how many times I've thrown that verse at my wife. Honey, better go spank that child, because the Bible says you will be the one who will be shamed if not. Of course, it applies to both husband and wife. Well, a school in New York City had a chain fence around it for years until some New Agers came along and said that boundary, that chain fence, would stifle the kids in their imaginations. So they took that fence down, and they noticed that when they took the fence down, guess what the kids did? They noticed that what they were afraid of happening, what they were afraid of, did not happen. The kids no longer ventured out as far as they once did when there was the chain fence there. Instead, they huddled all the more in the center of the yard. Now, here's what I take from that. I believe that kids want boundaries. I believe that kids recognize the safety and the concern that adults show to them when those adults give them limits and give them boundaries. I've always believed, or at least for a long time I have believed, that kids want to have lines, that they want someone to love them enough to say no. And even though they may beg for their way sometimes and try to talk their way past those boundaries, they actually deep down appreciate that you care enough for that. And I feel sorry for a lot of kids who have no boundaries whatsoever and want to feel that love that comes through discipline. The God of mercy and kindness has advocated spanking. And I believe that our merciful God would not advocate spanking if there were a less painful and more effective method that could be introduced. Spanking is just God's way. It is. Now, let's make a couple of statements to balance things. I think it's important to remember that spanking is reserved for rebellion, really. Intentional rebellion. That is, you've seen it in your kids before. No, I will not. Okay? That attitude. That is someone who has knowledge of what they're doing. They've been talked to. They've been warned. They've been asked to do what's right. No. Spanking, I believe, should not be used for childishness or forgetfulness. I've seen it used for weakness, and that's a shame, you know. Accidents, careless accidents. I think I've used it for that before. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Oh, how many times have I told her not to do this? But it was an accident, you know. Well, there'll be a few more statements of balance that we need to give along the way, but wanted to say those now. Spanking is an evidence. Number two today. Number one was spanking is a necessity for training a child. Number two, spanking is an evidence of true love, true parental love. Now, we need reminded of this because a lot of times the very reason that some parents say that they don't spank is because they love that child so much. But the Bible says if you love them, you'll spank them. Kids, do you realize that? The Bible says if your parents love you, they will spank you. Amen. And that if they don't spank you, that they don't love you.
I love them a whole bunch.
Lots of love. And they're feeling the love. Listen to Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him at times. True love desires the best, and true love oftentimes is tough love. Biblical spanking does hurt the child much, but biblical spanking, when it's done right, will hurt the parent more. It really is true what your parents told you. This is going to hurt me. And you didn't believe it when they were saying it to you, did you? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But now you believe it, don't you? Now we understand. Well, what's this rod? What's this rod that's used? The rod is always mentioned as the instrument. The word rod literally means a branch cut off as a graft. That gives the idea of like a switch, that idea. Now, how many of you were whipped with a switch as a kid? Okay. How many of you, it was actually at a woodshed? No, not too many of those. Okay. What is What's the idea of a switch or a rod like this? It's something which inflicts pain, intense pain, upon the skin without damaging internal organs, without damaging severely, that is, tissues under the skin too severely. Now, I don't know how you do this, and I'm not one who tells people how to do things, but I can tell you that I don't believe in using the hands, you know, using my hands. Why do you think anyone would ever hold that position of not using your hands?
Because it hurts your hand.
Okay, there's some good ideas. Here's a hand. I agree with that. You know, the bad guy is not you in a spanking. Why else? Other ideas? Why not to use the hand itself?
I guess some people could say that the hand is an object of love.
Okay. The hand ought to be something that comes to your child in love.
Right.
Yeah?
It's too easy to just do it out in anger if you've got a hand, and then if you have to think about it.
Okay. Too easy to fly off the handle. Uh-huh. All right. Other ideas?
Isn't it a little bit more childish using a switch than it is a...
Right.
I mean, the little cup of food with a switch.
Well, let's discuss that.
If I... Paddle balls on aisle 4 and just take them all off.
If I could rephrase the question, doesn't a switch... or a paddle hurt more than the hand?
No.
And I would say yes.
Yeah.
And that's the point. My answer to that.
Kay had a question for you.
Well, I didn't really have a question, but I thought a lot of times if you use your hand, then when you come after them, they've done something that they weren't supposed to do, and they see you come, and they may think you're going to hit them.
Yeah.
You know.
Take it from a kid who had some side-to-heads before. You know?
He does. You get punchy.
Yeah. And so, enough said there. The rear end seems specifically designed by God for receiving pain without suffering internal damage. And so, as one wise old preacher said, apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Parents, however, who have a temper, should not spank their children until they learn to control themselves. Children are not punching bags. And so, in the same breath that we say, it ought to hurt, we say, it ought to be done right.
That's right. Amen.
Number three, spanking should begin early. As early as willful rebellion is recognized or emerges. One of the key principles, I believe, of effective training is to start as early as possible. Now, I'm not one for spanking babies, but even newborn babies can easily differentiate between a disapproving tone of voice or an encouraging tone of voice. And believe me, we come out of the womb sinning, you know? We were over and saw this little guy, Jonas, this afternoon at his house. His parents are in the nursery. His... grandparents so graciously have volunteered to do the hard work of holding him here in the service. He's probably already sinned, you know? And how do you see that in one that age? It's hard to see it right now as I look at him. But you know, they learn to lie pretty soon. They learn mama comes when you make this sound, even if I don't really feel like making that sound. I want her to come. What is that? That's lying at an early age. So beat him. No. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. But children learn at an early age how to do what's wrong and in appropriate ways should be dealt with. And as soon as that willful rebellion makes its presence known, I think that spanking can be effective, whether it's the little slap on the hand at first or not, however that you do that. Well, start early. When should it end? When should spanking end?
College.
Never. You know, all right, come on back to me.
Gina started it.
Ma'am.
If you don't have control by 13, forget it. Oh,
it may be too late, huh? I think it's tough to draw a line in the sand and set an age on it. Some people say it's not over till it works. I think my dad had that philosophy in the actual moment of the spanking. You know, maybe when I was 6 or 8 or whatever, that this one hadn't took yet, so it's not over yet, and that may be right. But I think a more balanced answer recognizes it is different for each child. And here's what I feel comfortable in saying. Here's what I feel impressed to say from the Holy Spirit of God tonight. And that is that most parents err on the side of stopping too early. And yes, some probably go too late. But never mind that. Odds are that you may be stopping too early. Now, we mentioned earlier that there's other disciplines that are effective as a child grows up. Maybe we should name some of those that are effective, and maybe we should name some others that maybe are not. Right here in this room, we've got a lot of young families, young parents, and I'm one of them. At least my kids are young. And we ought to be really listening to this. And let me invite some of you more experienced, seasoned, mature, youth-challenged adults to just share some tips. And this doesn't mean you did it all right. Maybe your tip flows from I did it wrong. And so, but first of all, other methods that could help enhance or supplement spanking. Somebody name something that worked for you or could be good, you would recommend to others.
Well, I think something that a pastor showed me, and you mentioned that we shouldn't give spankings for childish things, for what a child does. And what happened to make me realize that, we were out at Melmine, out at the church one weekday or something, doing some work there around the church, probably a Saturday. Doug and Chris had been outside throwing some football back and forth. Well, Doug comes in. He's talking to me up by the pulpit, I think. And Chris comes in the back door and goes, "Doug, I'm long." And Doug chucks the football clear down the center aisle of the sanctuary. I thought that was just wrong.
Don't do this at your church, kids.
So I snatched him up and gave him both spanking. One for saying pass the ball and one for pass the ball. Well, my pastor got me aside. He goes, "Mike," he says, "you're wrong." I go, "No, I'm not." I said, "They shouldn't be." He said, "Yeah, they shouldn't be." But he says, "You didn't need to spank him. You needed to tell him." But he said, "They've been outside passing the football." And he said, "I've heard this all morning. I'm long. Hit me." You know? He said, "That was a reflex. It wasn't something they came in planning to do." And so that, it kind of made me mad at first. I'd about ready to yank him up, put him in the car, and I was going to go home because I wasn't going to be dressed down by my pastor like that. But, you know, I heard what he said, and then I thought about it. And I thought, yeah, he's right, you know. And I think too, you know, sometimes we do sometimes we'll give him that little notch upside the head for something that's just normal for a child to do, and it shouldn't be done, you know. And I had to learn that myself, you know, because I was quick just to reach out and pop him. Not knock their brains out or anything, but knew that I'm in business. But a lot of times I could just look at my boys or give them the eye, and they would straighten up. So I didn't.
All right.
But I thought that was a good example that he showed me about
Kids will do kid things, and kid things aren't worth a spanking. They just need to be taught.
Okay. There's some input there. Other thoughts on what does work besides?
This kind of goes along with maybe what Mike said, but I think children should be only be disciplined when there's deliberate disobedience. I think many times we don't set the guidelines and the boundaries early enough and clear enough. And I think especially with strong-willed children, many times you have to say no, and then you have to explain to them afterwards what the consequences are going to be. I had very strong-willed children, and still do have strong-willed children. But they always had, if I would say, no, you cannot do that, it would always be followed up, well, why? And I have to explain, and many times with stronger-willed children, you have to explain the reasons why. But sometimes it's just because I'm the mother, and I said it's not going to be done that way. Now, here's what's going to happen if you disobey me.
Yeah, the answer of because I said so does not teach the child nearly as much as teaching them the moral reason why and them understanding. And of course, they still need to have the balance of whether you agree and fully understand or not. Maybe it is because I said.
I think, too, there needs to be consistency with the child. Your no's mean no and your yes means yes. And one of the things that when I was pastoring the church up in Clinton, I had a lot of single mothers. And that's one thing I would tell them. I said, when you tell your child no, you mean no, and that means no all day long. Not where they come in. And these kids would just come back in every 5 minutes. And some of them were teenagers. Can I do this? No. Can I do that? Oh, go. Just go do it. Leave me alone. You know. And I said that's wrong. I said they will never come to a place of discipline if you give in, because they know you're going to give in, and they figure just a few more times, I just got to go in and ask her, and I'll be on my way.
Yeah, that person's teaching them something else, teaching them.
But I tell a lot of young people, you know, just be consistent. Consistency goes a long way.
Okay. Keep in mind your mom's in front of you.
Better than being behind you.
Very good.
So,
any other thoughts? How about as kids get older and spanking is less appropriate? Other ideas?
Grounding.
You recommend grounding?
Sorry, I won't go into it. My children went to church on a Wednesday night. They had my van, and instructions were go straight to church, straight home. My daughter needed some music, so she drove to someone's house. On the way back on a wet gravel road, she laid the van over in a ditch. Wasn't driving very fast, 5 miles an hour, still with battery acid and so forth. So they called me, and the pastor called me, and I said, okay, I'll be right there. And we drove to the scene. They were riding the van with a wrecker. And I said, you kids hurt? No, Dad, get in the car with your mother. I'll see you at home. So I drove home, and I asked them, are you where you were supposed to be? No. My daughter came to me at the age of 42. This is dead serious. She's 50 or what now. And she said, Dad, will you finish punishing me for turning that van around? And I said, honey, did you learn what you needed to learn? She said, yes, Dad, I did. Punishment's finished. It was an area of discipline, not of punishment. If you make a promise to a child that you're going to punish them, discipline yourself enough to administer that, administer it without anger, and administer it immediately as soon as is feasible. I think my son, Ed, you guys know him, during a cathedral concert, there were four rows from the front, and I thought I saw an exit from the church out the door. I got in a little bitty cubicle right there by where they were having a concert, paddled him. I mean, it was promised, it was coming, and it was administered. He was good. My wife was embarrassed. And she said that, well, I'll say one thing about it. We got an amen from the quartet.
All right. Well, boy, I hope everyone heard that and pay close attention. There's some real wisdom there. According to that, honey, we may need to go home and give some that are owed to our kids.
I was taking Stephen out one time, and this is the God's truth. About the time we was ready to hit the back door of the sanctuary, he yells over my shoulder, "Pray for me, y'all, he's going to kill me."
Obviously, he did not die. He's here, so.
One more short comment.
Okay.
You've got to remember as a parent that the first person you have to discipline is yourself.
Hmm. That's right.
Great.
We only had one thing. There are so many when they get to be teenagers. There's not black and white sometimes. You know, the kids would say, "Could we go, you know, here?" And wasn't any place bad. It wasn't any, you know, there wasn't. But sometimes, I mean, Rich and I, we really relied on the Holy Spirit because sometimes he said, "You know, I don't know why I've got a problem with it. I don't know why there's a feeling." And we told our kids,
right,
"Look, sometimes there's not a reason. It's just because we have a bad feeling." And we would tell them, "Look, we don't. There's something about it. We don't." Then later we'd find out that there was something bad going on at that place. And so sometimes you just really have to rely on the Holy Spirit when there's not an absolute answer. Can I go to Jane's house? Can I go there, here? When, you know, normally. And another thing we did, when our kids were older and they were teenagers and they wanted to stay all night with a friend, I always called the parent. It didn't matter. They were embarrassed to death. They were 17 years old. "Oh, can I stay?" And I said, "Fine, but I will call the parent." They go, "Mother?" I'm like, "No, you will not stay there." And then I also called that mother. I said, "Unless you hear from me, they are to be there." It's not that they go there and go, "Oh, well, we're not staying all night." I said, "If they say that, you call me." And we never had a problem with that.
No. Think about what are the reasons why kids ask why so much. One of the main reasons, like in a scenario like that, that they're asking why is because they're really saying, "You don't trust me." So maybe it's good to get it out ahead of time. Darn straight. I don't trust me. And if I can realize that about myself, then you should be able to realize that about you. I was your age once. I know what it's like.
And it's harder to say no than it is to say yes. I mean, it's very easy. We could have been flippant, you know, "Oh gosh, you're not, you know, because you're driving this." But you have to be disciplined, like you said, enough to love your kids to say no and to have to sometimes hear them go, "Why?" And then, you know, all night long, you know, they're kind of, you know, downhearted.
This is great. We've made this point pretty well. Yes, sir?
Did I hear something about alternative solutions or something like that?
Yeah.
Revoking privileges.
Okay.
Kids nowadays have way too many privileges.
Grounding and privileges and things could be something like that. And what were you saying?
I was impressed with my oldest son and his manner of discipline, at least when the kids were small, that he would send them to their room. It gave them a chance to think about what they'd done. And if he never showed any anger, but if you were, that would give you time to cool down. And he just told him to go to his room. He would be there in a few minutes. He went back.
Think about it.
Explain, do you know what you did wrong?
Many of us have had those few moments of sweating.
Yeah.
in our room or on a car ride home or
he'd ask him if he
or whatever.
Knew what he did wrong, and then
that's
he
good.
Would hear, wop, wop, wop. You know, I mean, CERN, and then he would sit on his laptop and he would have prayer with him, and then he would leave the room and tell him he was able to leave the room whenever he was under control.
Great. Last one on this subject. Maybe a more effective way of answering this question of what other ways to use is to ask for ideas of this is a cop-out or this doesn't work or I don't buy this method. A lot of the methods the world uses today are not effective. Somebody holler some out. Non-effective methods.
They hated to write
500
times what
they had done. Oh. Okay. Another good one. Okay. That's another good suggestion of what to do, what not to do. Lost privileges now.
I lost my bedroom door for slamming it.
Yeah.
You know, you lose some privacy. But I think that probably something that is overused is, oh, wait till the father gets home, or like avoiding the situation. When kids get older, it's a lot easier to avoid it. And I know that there were a lot of times that my mom was like, I'm not dealing with this. Wait till your dad gets home and he can deal with it. Well, then by that time, you know, time had elapsed. She was like, well, now it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, even if it was a big issue that should have been handled. It's a lot easier to just kind of push it back or your dad can handle it. Well, if he's not there, then it's, you don't have the same. It's not the same with that.
I sweat it out all day long.
As parents today, we do need to be up with the times and on top of what we do. I know several parents in here who, you know, revoke phone privileges effectively, or one of the most popular videos right now on YouTube is this kid going irate because his mom took away his internet privileges. If you've seen that one, that's not usually how they will react. Usually be a little more effective than that. Let me just to stay on task a little bit with this, you know, any other ideas of what's not effective? Does everyone understand what's wrong with this? 5? 4? Somebody?
You're giving them 5 seconds to obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. They've already disobeyed.
Delayed obedience, yeah. You can still disobey. You can still disobey. It's getting closer. And now I'm really serious. I want you to obey. I personally am not a fan of timeouts. Maybe what we're talking about with older kids timeout is more effective than to a little kid, you know. But a lot of people feel like they're abusing their child with timeout. What were you going to say? Right.
And it's just, and then they forget why they're there to begin with, because you're wrestling with them to even get them to stay there as a toddler. It's lost on to why they even begin. And then as they get older, the sitting in the chair, it didn't really work.
So staying on our subject tonight, time out, biblical time out is time out in the woodshed. That's the time out. Yes. I didn't.
No, we were on the same track about the 5-4-3.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going here before the kids get really antsy and we have to spank them. Where were we? Oh, yes. Okay. Let's wrap this up here. Main subject. By the way, our title tonight, I didn't tell you, is The Bottom Line on Spanking. And the bottom line is that pain is the best teacher. Even today, I'm 38, soon to be 39 years old, I learn best, it seems, through pain. You know? And it'd be great if I could take the high road sometimes and learn some things through the Word, and maybe sometimes I do, but perhaps not as deeply as when it's through pain. Now, if you have something to teach me, I ask you to approach me first and talk to me. However, God is most effective at getting through to us through the school of hard knocks, so it seems. A mother giraffe kicks its young just as it's beginning to learn how to walk, knocking it down. It gets back up, it kicks it down. It looks cruel, but eventually that young'un is quick enough when it gets up to rise and scamper away untouched, and that mama giraffe knows that's exactly what her baby needs to do with predators, be quick enough to get up and get away from something that has knocked it down. Right. Only the strongest survive in nature. Like the mother bird that pushes that little one out of the nest, we need to learn the lesson of tough love. It's a favor that our kids will come to appreciate. Now, how many here tonight... Well, just raise your hand if you were spanked as a kid, and keep your hands up, okay? Now, keep it up if it was done properly. Some might say, I have to put my hand down, it was improper. Okay, keep your hand up if it was done properly, and now keep it up if today you appreciate it. It's a beautiful illustration, isn't it? I thought it was cruel as a kid, as my dad pulled up next to a dog that was chasing our car, got him close, opened the door a little, and hit him in the head, sending him tumbling. Until I realized, through my dad's teaching me, that he actually probably just saved that dog's life. Because he learned through pain, cars hurt. And he didn't have to learn the hard way, cars kill. You know? Few more balancing comments and we're done here. Consistency, some of you have said some of these things, but let's reiterate them. Consistency is critical. Consistency is not natural in the human race, however. It only comes with discipline and maturity and with prayer that we can be consistent. Consistency implies that there must be clearly defined lines, understood standards. In other words, the child does need to be informed and warned of the rules. Then they need to be warned of the consequences if they continue in that way. But guess what? Consistency says parents must adhere to these rules too. Not just do as I say, but do as I do. Punishment must fit the crime. That must be consistent. Severity of punishment must fit the crime. Now listen, parents who cannot discipline themselves have given away their moral right to discipline their children. You look at some parents today and say, who's going to raise them? You know? Since nobody raised them, who is going to raise them so they can learn how to raise their kids? Now, what's the real test of is your discipline effective? The real test is your kids. Now, when they grow older, the free will, they can go their own way. I'm not talking about where they're at today if you've got grown kids. I'm talking about when they're under your roof and under your authority, are they walking the line or not? Is your discipline effective or not? They are the answer to the question. They are. Love must be the motivation, as we've said. Before spanking, here's how I think it should happen, okay? If we need to learn how to do it. Before spanking, I think the parents should sit the child down and explain to them the reason, how the rules were broken, warn them of the error of their ways and how that may take them down a wrong road, and that you love and care for them and don't want them to go down the wrong roads. They must be told that they're loved, but that their rebellion is hateful to God. God is displeased, that you as the parent are displeased. I think the actual act of spanking today, people who even say that they do it oftentimes don't do it right, don't do it with enough severity. At the same time, it shouldn't be with violence. But again, we err on the side of caution too much when we need to make sure that we are effective. Make sure that we are effective. And if it's not having the desired effect, then perhaps it takes some more severity to be effective. There should be crying. There should be pain. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Did you hear that tonight? It's getting late, so we're losing some attention. Let me repeat that verse again. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." That characterizes our generation today. Oh, I can't do it. My heart can't take it. I feel that way sometimes with my own, especially a certain gender. I have a hard time with it. Okay? Here's another verse. Well, that verse says, "Let not thy soul spare for his crying." Here's another verse that a lot of times preachers will use in this conversation. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, "The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." Now, here's what I have to say about the verse about the blueness of a wound cleansing away evil. I am not saying for you to leave marks on your child. And today you're liable to get in trouble if you leave excessive marks on your child. That's a shame. I believe that that verse actually is not speaking about discipline. But my dad did believe that's what that verse meant. And I would have to testify that I believe it worked. So that's what I have to say about that, the blueness of a wound. After the spanking, the child should be asked to spend some time in quiet, reflecting on his deed, just like they may have had to before. After which, the parent should talk to him and re-explain. And the child should understand in the end that the greatest pain of it is the disappointing of their parent, that they disappointed God, that they disappointed their parent. Now, I'll be the first to admit it's not pleasant. It's not easy to spank our children in the right way. But we've discussed tonight there's plenty of biblical evidence instructing us on the path we should take. And what is the bottom line? The bottom line for most people today is do what's easiest, and that makes my point tonight. Because what is easiest is actually God's method. God's method is the easiest. What's hard is having to make threat after threat after threat over and over again. When you can get your children to a place where you can look at them, and that's how easy it was, you know? And let me tell you, that's a joy. Point. Now, it might have been a little harder at first to get him to that point. So I say I'm all for do what's easiest if you mean what Proverbs 29:17 says. Here's our last comment. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." So if that's what you mean by do what's easiest, then by all means, do what's easiest. Let's go ahead and turn to some prayer requests tonight.